9 o'clock, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's a Wine About It Wednesday with Talon Wine. There's a few wines in here, some good ones. Need more, though. We need a cellar full of wines. Complaints. Neighbors barking dogs. Here's something that's not a complaint. I like the First Street roundabout. I've never seen traffic flow through there better than it does than right now. That's not a whine. It's a slap together roundabout. I mean, it's not like it's just a temporary thing. Traffic moves to there better than it ever has.
I think you need like a tiara or a sash or something, because you're the only person I have heard like it.
So people like to sit at traffic lights forever? Because that's what you do at First Street.
Apparently.
That's what you do.
People hate roundabouts for some reason.
I just don't get that. I don't get why. I was the champion of hating roundabouts. When they built the one on Horizon Drive, I hated it. Complained about it on the air all the time.
Yep.
Called it the circle of death because it was so small and people had no clue how to get into it. And now I'm a lover of them because I don't like sitting at traffic lights. I hate it. The people that lost their crap about the one on the Redlands. Really? So that was great, sitting there at the traffic light forever, huh? Mm-hmm. You enjoy that? That's fun? You like that?
Gives you time to flip through, Instagram or Facebook whatever.
No, thank you. I'm trying to think about what...
You're one of those social media work type people when you're supposed to be working. That's you. I appreciate that.
I'm just trying to think of something I really have a big complaint about this week. It's been a pretty good week so far. It's been okay. It's not been bad at all. I don't have any major complaints.
I mean, I have sports wines, but that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, but Broncos won. I wish the Buffs would have, been a little better offensively. Wish the Rams would have beat Vanderbilt. And with that note,
wish that.
Yeah, well, most notably the guy that we're going to talk to next, the voice of the CSU Rams, Brian Roth, joins us every Wednesday on the Jim Davis Show.
Talking CSU with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth, on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, with us right now, the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth. Brian, good morning. How are you doing, man?
Oh, we're hanging in there here in Fort Collins.
Oh, that deep. We're doing okay over here. It's a beautiful day on the Front Range today. So I can only imagine. I remember what the reaction was after the loss to South Dakota State, and now the loss to Vanderbilt. Ram Nation not exactly thrilled with this 0-2 start, considering who the Rams. Vanderbilt's just not a very good football team, and they found a way to lose to Vanderbilt.
Well, they did, and that was a game that Colorado State was just completely dominating in the first half. And it's a Vanderbilt team that had come in and lost 11 straight, and a game in which CSU was favored in, and Rams get the opening kickoff. They go right down the field and go up 7-0. And I think with 5 minutes to go in the first half, CSU was outgaining Vanderbilt from like 270 to 70. I mean, it was a complete beatdown, but Rams were only up 14-0. They had missed a couple of field goals in the contest, had another drive stall at about midfield and a penalty. And so, you're sitting there and you're saying, we should be up more than 14-0. And all of a sudden, Vanderbilt goes on a touchdown drive to close out the first half, and you could just see their sideline being like, whoa, we're in this football game. And they shouldn't have been in the football game. And I mentioned, they have lost 11 straight. If you go up at halftime 20-0, or let's say maybe even 24-7, that game's over. It is over. There's no way Vanderbilt's getting up off the mat after that. They weren't going to. But 14-7, with Vanderbilt having some mojo into the locker room, and then CSU midfield early in the third, they throw an interception, their only turnover of the game, but it's all about when they come and where they come, and it came at midfield. Next thing Vanderbilt goes down the field, ties it up, and next thing you're in a dogfight at that point. I mean, you are in a fight for your life, and CSU ends up losing on the last second field goal, but that game was lost in the first half. I mean, you had a chance to put them out of their misery, and you didn't do it, and you get beat.
He's the voice of the CSU Rams, Brian Roth, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I think for Steve Addazio, I watched some of Steve's presser. Obviously frustrated. Felt like his team played well at times in that game. But I think right now he's probably, and him and the Rams coaching staff, kind of beside themselves a little bit right now, considering number one, that the defense is supposed to be really good. It hasn't been particularly great the first two games. And just certainly did not, felt that these were two very winnable football games, did not expect to be 0-2 at this juncture.
No, you weren't expecting to be 0-2. I mean, to go back to South Dakota State, South Dakota State's really good.
Yeah, they are.
Rams fans don't want to hear that because it's an FCS team. And, you should have beat Vanderbilt. I mean, you just should have. And so, yeah, to be 0-2 at this point, and then you're looking at the non-conference schedule, I mean, Toledo's really good. Probably should have won at Notre Dame last Saturday. And then Iowa could be the best team of the Big Ten and certainly one of the best teams of the nation. That's who you have coming up next week, both on the road. I mean, so CSU is staring probably at an 0-4 start here, and obviously that'll make any fan base nervous when you come out of the gates like that. So I don't think anybody was thinking that the Rams were going to be 0-2 at this point, but they are, and all of a sudden that brings in 0-4 into the equation. We're all human, right? I mean, Ram fans are obviously going to be upset about the situation and frustrated and whatnot. But, I try to remind some of my buddies that are texting me incessantly, being like, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the world's ending with Ram football, is that, this is a coaching staff that is six games in. Now, would you like more wins? Yes, but they're six games into a complete rebuild at CSU. You have a pandemic thrown in there. And so, I tell Ram fans to pump the brakes a little bit, deep breaths. Let's see how this team progresses and how they get better the rest of the year. And that's what you want to see. I mean, whether you're good and you have high expectations or whether it's a rebuild like this season is, are you better in game 8 than you were in game 2, right? Are you better in game 10 than you were in game 8? And that goes for basketball, it goes for any sport. Are you improving? And so, that's what you want to see out of this football team is improvement as you move down the season.
Brian Roth, voice of the CSU Rams, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I know, look, last year special teams were a problem, Brian, and in some ways better, but still, the Rams almost had a punt that was partially blocked. That did not help in that game on Saturday. So there's still some issues with that particular part of the football team as well.
Yeah, I mean there is, and that certainly didn't lose them the game, that punt. But you missed a couple field goals, and of course it's hard to blame coaches on missed field goals. I mean, you're going to put the guy out there that you feel like is the best kicker you have, and Caden Camper won the job in camp, and it was really good in camp and ended up making his first field goal of the season, and now has missed three straight. And, those things happen. I mean, kicking in the college game is, always a wild card. We know that. But, the special teams isn't necessarily that concerning to me. The secondary is as beat up of a defensive unit, or really a unit altogether, that I've seen in 20 years. They've had a ton of attrition with injuries back there, and now you're going to lose it. A guy in Logan Stewart who got called with a targeting call, and so CSU's really thin on the back end. I mean, that's the most concerning thing to me with this Ram football team moving forward. Special teams, you hope that it's going to be stable the whole year, but whew, the back end of the defense, it's in a bad, bad way right now, and there's probably no signs of it getting better anytime soon.
I should mention on the special teams, Ryan Stonehouse did have an 81-yard punt. So there you go. There's something positive about that particular part of the Rams football team. Brian Roth joining us today, the voice of the CSU Rams. It is Toledo coming up, and look, Toledo's pretty good. I mean, they're better than people, I think, initially give them credit for. I mean, they took Notre Dame and to the wire, and 32-29 Notre Dame goes on to win that game. But Brian Kubik, the running back, 122 yards, a touchdown. Daquan Finn added a touchdown run as well. But Kubik was the guy that was the workhorse when it came to the Toledo running game. It's a good football team that Toledo has, and like I said, they played you know, a nationally ranked Notre Dame team right down to the wire.
Well, it's been a good program for a number of years. I mean, Matt Campbell had the program going well, and then he ended up going to Iowa State, and obviously he's done a great job at Iowa State. His offensive coordinator, Jason Campbell, took over the Toledo program, and look, they're challenging for a conference championship every year, and I know a lot of folks out here west, they don't follow the Mid-American Conference, right. The MAC, why would you? But it's a Toledo team that's always vying for a conference championship. Won 9 games a couple years ago, went 4-2 in the COVID-shortened season last year with 2 close losses to the best teams in the MAC. And so this is a really good program that's right in the middle of Ohio, right? You're in Ohio, so you have that fertile recruiting ground. It's a really good program. They should have beat Notre Dame last week. They were up. They scored the go-ahead touchdown with a minute 30 to go. They were up 29-24 on the road at Notre Dame. Now, is Notre Dame the 7th best team in the nation? I don't know. They may be. They may not be. But the fact of the matter is you go in to South Bend and you're up with a minute 30 to go against a top 10 Notre Dame team. It means you're pretty good. And so this is the Toledo team that's going to come back. I imagine they're going to have a lot of confidence. And, the Rams are going to have their hands full. But Toledo's been a good, good program now, really, for the last decade plus. And nothing's changed there here this year.
Right. So just the perspective away from people that really follow college football. I mean, out here it's like, Toledo. They've been good for a long time. Matt Campbell was a real reason for that, really set the table there. Jason Candle, as you mentioned, has just picked up where he left off. And look, Toledo, I think they're the second best team in the state of Ohio right now, behind Cincinnati. Buckeye, you got a response to that?
That's probably right.
Well, I'm not so sure about that, but
Buckeye's handled it well this week, Brian. He did say Monday that he thought that his memory is that they were up 28-21, Ohio State, and they won the football.
We're still tabulating.
Yeah, that they're still counting votes, right? Okay, yeah. So they're going to send some independent auditors to go over it again and evaluate whether or not
there's still some outstanding precincts.
Okay,
yeah. So you're still winning. Last I saw,
some hanging chads.
Yeah.
Some mysterious ballots that are waiting to be that have suddenly arrived. That you
they
want
all
to
have my name on them. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how that happened either. But
I loved seeing that last week, by the way. I mean, Ohio State get punked in their own stadium against the Pac-12, who's supposed to be terrible, who actually isn't great. Oregon is, but the conference obviously isn't. But it was just fun to see, right? Those Ohio State fans, usually they get their heart broken in January. It's fun to see them get kicked here in September.
You are just piling on my little buddy here, and I'm loving it, to be quite honest. I'm quite enjoying this. You okay over there?
Misery loves company, okay? Misery loves
company.
He's
collected his thoughts. He's trying to come back with something to say.
I'm going to retain my professionalism and sit here quietly.
You should see. You could cook an egg on his forehead right now. He's that angry.
Everybody outside of Columbus, Ohio, was rooting for Oregon on Saturday. Trust me.
Well, technically, I'm outside of Columbus. So you are.
So that's correct. Yeah. All right. Brian Roth, joining us today, the voice of the CSU Rams. With everything keeps going on, the ever-changing college landscape with conferences. Of course, last Friday, they made it official that BYU, Cincinnati, Central Florida, Houston are all going to join the Big 12. Doesn't mean, though, that maybe down the road, Colorado State may not be part of the next wave, as the Big 12 might look to get to 16 teams. But just your takeaway, Brian, of the move by the Big 12 last week.
Well, I think we kind of talked a little bit about it. It's good for the Mountain West. And so that's, at this point for Colorado State, you got to worry about yourself. Obviously, they need football to get better. I mean, if there is going to be another round of realignment, maybe the Big 12 wants to add a few more teams. I mean, we've mentioned Colorado State's got a lot of things going for it in terms of how it would fit into the Big 12. But you've got to get football corrected here, and hopefully you have a couple of years to do that. So that's number one. But, the Mountain West is in pretty good shape. You remember the Mountain West was flirting with Gonzaga a couple of years ago, and there's some real interest on both sides of Gonzaga coming to the Mountain West as a basketball-only school. Would that come back into play now that BYU is out of the West Coast Conference, right? And so that diminishes the West Coast Conference a little bit. They still have St. Mary's out there, but Gonzaga, would they be willing to entertain a basketball-only move into the Mountain West? Wichita State's a really good basketball program. Would they entertain a basketball-only move to the Mountain West now with the AAC depleted? So there's a lot of things on the table there. And you know, if I'm Craig Thompson in the Mountain West, I'm on the phone with Gonzaga. I'm on the phone with Wichita State as basketball-only schools. I'm on the phone with Memphis coming over as a full-time member. I think the Mountain West has to be proactive here since they were unscathed, and now it's time to strengthen who they are. So, you know, from a Mountain West point of view, they're in pretty good shape, and I'd be aggressive. That's what I would do if I was Craig Thompson. But guess what? I am not the commissioner of the Mountain West Conference.
I think you should be. I personally do. I mean, you had your own university for a while. I mean, so why not run an entire conference? So I think if you have your own university with fine young graduates that came out of that program, the leadership that you demonstrated during COVID, Brian, that I think it's your time. Craig Thompson, thanks for your service.
Salary. I don't know if I want the problems he has on a daily basis, but I'll take the paycheck.
Oh, sure. No doubt. Maybe I can be your assistant commissioner?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Great. Thank you.
Let's give you $300,000 a year for that.
Oh.
I'll take $600,000. You get $300,000.
I like it. Okay. Deal.
Yeah, let's do it.
Handshake through the microphone deal today. Okay. Handshake deal. That happen.
I don't know why we'd leave our lucrative jobs as radio guys. I mean, it's
cush.
We're just rolling in cash in this profession.
Like I say, like Scrooge McDuck in his money bin. Just rolling around in it, just bathing, bathing in the Benjamins, man, every single day. But one thing, you know, it's interesting to kind of wrap it up here, with the addition of those schools to the Big 12, I read this article the other day, that for basketball, the Kimpom for the Big 12 now with those schools, particularly BYU, of course, their basketball program is really good. Houston has had a big turnaround there as well, and that in Cincinnati's typically pretty good, that makes them among some of the better conferences in college basketball when it comes to the Kimpom with those schools coming in.
Yeah. I mean, you can make the argument in the last few years Big 12 has been the best basketball conference out there. I mean, you really could. And, of course, obviously last year you had the national champion coming out of the Big 12 with Baylor and what they've done. And that's a good, good basketball league. But, you know, as we all know, at the end of the day, when it comes to conference realignment, for the most part, basketball makes zero difference.
Yes.
It's all about football.
And no matter how good Calvin Sampson and Houston might have been this last year and everything, it's about Dana Holgorsen and how good the Houston football program is. You're right. It's about how good BYU is on the gridiron, not what they've done on the hardwood. And that's
how many eyeballs they can bring to the television sets for football.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if those AAC schools are going to be able to leave early. Obviously they're going to have to pay, you know, millions of dollars for that to happen. BYU has a lot more flexibility being an independent to start playing football sooner. But it'll be interesting to watch. It'll be interesting to see what the Mountain West does and whether or not you get that job. And I hope you do, Brian, because that means good things for moi right here. If that, since we have our, you know, our handshake agreement, it means good things for me too. So,
well, fingers crossed, Jim. Keep hoping.
We'll keep hoping, man. We'll keep hoping, Brian. I always appreciate it. Have a good call coming up with the Rams in Toledo.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Take care. Brian Roth, throwing some shade your way today and enjoying every minute of it.
The Rockets are going to wreck them, by the way.
Yeah, probably. Toledo's good. They're a good football program. Yeah,
and the Rams are not.
And the Rams are not right now. But I appreciated you putting on the brakes.
Because
there was a time a younger Buckeye boy would have got all snarky and sideways with Brian.
I waited until we got off the air.
And you would have delivered some kind of crack about CSU.
Yeah.
Well, at least we lost to Oregon. We didn't lose to Vanderbilt. But you were good. You kept your cool.
Yeah.
You didn't go crazy.
You had just
we like
as
Brian.
Close a loss to the dregs of the SEC as the Buffs did to the real SEC.
Because we like Brian.
Yeah.
He's a friend of the show.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you using some restraint today.
You got waxed by an FCS school.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And no matter how good South Dakota State is, right?
Doesn't matter. FCS school.
You lost to an FCS school.
Came to your house and robbed it, and you didn't do anything.
Yeah, they came in. They rummaged through your fridge.
Ate your pizza.
They drank all your beer.
Yeah.
They used your bathroom.
Yep.
And
petted your dog.
Did not clean up the toilet bowl after they made the mess from eating all the stuff in your fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they took your dog out and let him run around the front yard and crap all over your front yard too.
Yep.
Yeah, that was an embarrassing loss.
And then Toledo. Geographically, not in the middle of Ohio. It's more Michigan than Ohio, but they're going to punch you in the face.
Second best team in the state of Ohio right now.
Probably.
Toledo Rockets.
To be honest.
What about Akron? Akron's not...
The Zips aren't very good, but they're still the Zips.
So you're still liking my Cincinnati,
if
Toledo, then Ohio football, State.
If you can run the football, you'll beat Ohio State. Because they can't stop the run.
No, they can't
save their life.
No, they can't.
So if you're the Toledos and the Cincituckies, you can beat the big brother if you need to right now.
Brother.
Yeah.
Bring it on, brother.
It's not going well in Columbus. There is change afoot.
What do you guys have this week? Should I have not asked that question?
That's a good question. We have some middle-of-the-road team, I think. I'm not sure. The season's over. I don't know why you're asking.
It's all over, man. It's over. Game over.
Yeah. Let's see here.
But I do love the people since we're talking.
Oh, we got Tulsa. That's right.
Okay. Since we're talking Big Ten here a little bit.
Oh, we'll find out if Akron can beat Ohio State in a week, in 10 days.
We'll find it out. Battle for the state of Ohio, the bragging rights. The people are going crazy over Iowa being a college football playoff team.
Look,
they've had two really good wins. Okay. The win against Indiana, it was impressive. They woodshedded them.
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually smacked around Iowa State on their home turf to keep the Cy-Hawk.
Yeah.
But let's settle down.
Let's calm down.
Let's calm down.
Big Ten champion Oregon, though, still pretty good.
Your champions of the Big Ten. Coach Cristobal and the Oregon Ducks. Okay. 9:23. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have this day in sports history. We did not get to... Do you want to do four down territory today, or do we want
to... It's up to you.
Okay. Well, we have an open...
You set it up. I got the bet. I'm not worried about it.
Okay. Well, we'll contemplate. I love how we show the intern, Peyton, here.
Yeah.
You know, how we do it.
How
professional broadcasters do it. Well, what do you think? You want to do that? No, I don't know. Takes me back to when Beetleman did the show. You want to talk about that? No, I don't know.
At least we do it on the air, not during breaks.
All right, 9:23. We'll have something to talk about coming up next.
This is how the sausage is made, folks.
This is how pulling back the curtain. It's 9:23. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. It's still got... Get your wines in today, okay? Maybe you can whine about us not knowing what we're going to talk about next segment.
The gratuitous cheap shot by Brian. That's a... My wine.
I love that. Was great.
What the hell? What did I ever do to him?
Be a Buckeye fan, apparently. That's enough for him.
I'd pull for the Rams, too.
I know. Well,
but not now. Well. Come on, Rockets. Shoot a rocket up you know where.
Whoa. Up Cam's backside? Is that what you're saying?
So to speak.
Okay. Cam the Ram, not Cam Ross. Let's clarify that. Cam the Ram.
Yes.
All right. 9:24. We'll take a break and come back with more. Text or call in your wines today to win Talon Wine, 970-242-1340, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 927. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Don't forget they have Food Truck Friday. This Friday. Part of... Colorado Mountain Wine Fest. It's a little rush this morning.
This is Coheed and Cambria.
Okay, it sounds like... I'm sorry, because I'm like, I've never heard this song before. It's a Rush song. He sounds a little like Geddy Lee.
He does.
I have one of their albums. I can't remember which one I have from Coheed and Cambria, but I've got one of them.
pretty good. They got some new stuff out. But
no. All right. I'm sorry.
Don't ask me what
my apologies to folks like Buffalo Mark, our diehard Rush fans, because I'm like, that's
not that never, big apologies.
I've not heard that song before.
You should know it's not Rush because I'm using it as a return.
Oh, okay. That's true. I should have.
I'm still awake over here.
Hey, don't forget, we're into week two of the NFL season, and it's Pile Pigskin Pick'em, your chance to win that $1,000 gift card from Play It Again Sports. Also, that sweet Traeger grill from Fruita Co-op Country. Plus, for the overall points winner, you get that cooler from Central Distributing from Bud Light, full of Bud Light and Bud Light seltzer. So, must be 21. Get signed up because we've got Thursday Night Football coming up tomorrow night. Oh, we're going to find out what's going to happen with Hard Knocks tomorrow night at halftime.
Ooh.
The drama.
Yeah.
Forget the Giants and the Washington football team.
That makes me want to tune in 0% more.
I'm sorry. I could not care less. If they keep it fine. If they don't, I just don't care. It's like a lot of reality stuff. I just don't care. Okay, there's a wine today. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, me, because I found a wine for myself. Reality TV shows suck. They do.
For the most part,
the novelty's gone. It's been gone for a long time. They're not reality. We all know that. It's scripted. It's bull crap. Whether it's, the Kardashians to Survivor to The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or even the music shows anymore, the competition, like The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Masked Singer. And now they've got some virtual reality thing where people perform as they have their avatars. And, stop.
That just strikes me as stupid.
Stop.
Isn't that essentially The Voice, but more technologically innovative?
Yeah, it's just people, their avatars are performing. They're singing, they're doing it, but mm-hmm. it's an avatar. And like, I just don't give a crap.
Yeah, I don't.
Just don't care. All right. Somebody shares that sentiment. I'm gonna bring him on for a moment because we always let our interns
come on.
We let intern Matt on mm-hmm. one time.
So he knows we don't hear from him anymore.
I know. Well, he was supposed to go on the trip to Delta with you and develop a little case of the sniffles, sneezes.
Yeah,
and
interns are soft.
And we made the decision. Let's err on the side of caution, okay, in this day and age, and sit it out. So appreciated Wayne Saladay going with you to do that game. We got Peyton, though. Peyton is our new intern. Hello, Peyton.
Hey, Jim, Buckeye Boy. How you guys doing?
Now we're doing great. Peyton has his sweet trucker, old school Denver D hat on today. Love it. Love the old school logo.
I love it.
So give us the quick Peyton resume from where you're from.
I'm from just outside of Denver.
Team allegiances, things like that.
Just outside Denver. Grew up playing, sports. Love listening to sports. Love watching sports. Played a little bit of college football in Nebraska. Transferred over here. Hoped to get on the CMU football team. Didn't happen. Turned out, started working. And have a great opportunity here with you guys. I love sitting in, watching, and listening to you guys work. It's awesome.
Oh, I love this. Great opportunity. He knows how to butter the bread a little bit. He does. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I thought that about 20 years ago, too.
And then you realized, what you got yourself into, huh?
Yeah.
Can't realize that, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. Feeling stupid? Yeah. I know I am.
Yeah, okay. Well, Peyton, let's see. So, do you have a wine today? Now, you can't win, but do you have a wine today? Something to complain about?
I was thinking about it all morning. Yesterday in one of my classes, I turned in 6 photos, and yesterday was critique day, and it's a hard thing. It's a bittersweet thing getting told, you have this problem, but you did this good. Yeah, I was told that one of my 6 photos that I turned in was good. The rest were bad.
Okay.
So, that is kind of my wine, is hearing that negativity, but also in a good way. So that's kind of my wine is hearing you're good, but you're not that good.
Okay. Well,
I
think like none of us like to get criticized. I get that. Totally understand that. I've been there.
Well, like I said, it is bittersweet. So
it's okay. Well, at least one was good, right?
Yeah, at least one
was really good.
And matter of fact,
they all sucked and they were all terrible, but one was pretty good.
Yep.
So build on the positive.
Yep,
okay.
Exactly.
Can I give you some life advice here? Build on the positive.
Exactly.
One was good. They all could have sucked, and they had nowhere to go. But at least you got something to build on.
Yep. Exactly.
And you take that next photo, click, click, and it's going to be good. So you got two.
Yeah, you got two out of six now. All right.
My self-help book will be coming out probably never. We'll leave that to guys like Ryan Harris.
Yeah. So what exactly Mindset was the problem with the pictures?
Well, it was a little bit of a just kind of like a basic try to figure out, get used to a camera, because I'm not a photographer by any means, but this is a photography class.
A good call there on the scheduling.
Exactly, right? But...
It's trying to learn.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn new things here.
Did you cut a head off a family member in the picture?
No, they were just, you know, somewhere out of focus. Some stuff was, you know, they were told. And I mean, the professor has been doing it for 30 years. So she is here critiquing everything from that tree in the background. I wish it was over here a little bit more.
Okay, so I'm going to back up here a little bit. Okay, so... The object is to learn, right?
Exactly.
Your admission, you've never done this before.
Yes.
But it's bittersweet. How's it bitter? I mean, you're learning. And so if you did it perfect from the get-go, okay, that's great.
Yeah.
But that was probably not going to happen for you, right?
Oh, yeah, no.
And so you're probably, you know, you were due to get smacked around like a pinata a little bit. It was going to happen.
Exactly. And like you said, the reason there's that little bit of sweet was one did turn out good, and the rest were... Okay. Where, you know, this little thing was wrong. You could have done this different. Could have done that. But you know what? You had a good eye. Good eye, just, you know, not the best work.
Once again, yeah. I don't think you're building on the positives here.
I know.
I do. I, much like Jim, I have some advice, and mine's a little more suspect.
Okay.
But you can always tell this person, well, this is technically art, and it's in the eye of the beholder.
Wow. To the photography professor who's been doing this for 30-some years, you're going to tell that person, well, you know... This is my take on it, and your take sucks.
Or you can tell her photography is for people that can't paint and withdraw from the class.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work out so well.
My book will also be out soon.
Let me give you another piece of advice. Don't listen to him.
I said my advice is somewhat suspect.
So I'm just going to let you know that. Don't listen to him.
Mine's a lot more fun.
We got one from Andy today. It's not a wine. I love roundabouts, and the first street one is so easy. So yeah, see, and Andy's, you know, we're roughly same age-ish, and so I think there's this perception that if you're like above the age of 50, you don't like using roundabouts, and it's like, come on, man, they're super easy to do. Go to a country like England or go to Scotland where there are roundabouts. Good luck figuring those frickin' things out. Trust me. Drove in a couple of those. I'm surprised we're not still whipping around.
They're like five
lanes deep, and you're just going, holy crap, where am I getting off? And everybody's driving like 80 miles an hour, and you're going, plus you're driving on the wrong side, and wrong side of the road, wrong side of the car. I mean, the degree of difficulty is pretty good.
Yeah.
The roundabouts here are a piece of cake. From Dave, roundabouts work when you use your turn signal. If not, you're left guessing which way they're turning.
It's usually right.
Yeah.
Or else they're just in it. And they're staying.
So we got to start calling Dave Stewart, Major League Great Dave Stewart, because he refers to as Stewball here.
Maybe.
Are we going to call him Stewball?
If it is Major League Baseball Great Dave Stewart, the text should read, roundabouts work.
Roundabouts work when you use your turn signal. If not, you're left guessing where they're going. And so, but he looks like he would kill you.
Yeah.
He looks like... He's the last guy that you'd want to meet in an alley.
Yeah, him and Mike Tyson. If you just listen to him, it's hilarious.
Not the least bit intimidating. Looking at them, holy crap, please don't hurt me.
Right. Like even, I'm going to eat his children. That's adorable.
Oh, he's going to eat children. That's great. Can he say that again? It's so cute.
Yeah.
But if you're going to Stewball as a nickname here, that's self-glossing, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know. We have to decide whether that's okay to self-gloss.
I don't know.
I prefer a former Major League great Dave Stewart, but Stewball, we will put Stewball up for consideration.
Self-glossing is okay if it's long, if it's from somebody else and you've adopted it.
Right.
Or if it's to subvert authority, like the guy we had last week who's not allowed to have his phone out on the floor or listen to the show, but he does both.
If it's to be able to avoid detection.
Mm-hmm.
By your boss, then it's okay.
If it's to subvert authority, your self-gloss is okay.
But Dave will consider Stewball.
Mm-hmm.
I do prefer, though, former big leaguer Dave Stewart.
Yeah.
As your moniker.
Thanks for the morning talk show, guys.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great day. Steve, no offense to Rams play-by-play, but I'm taking Toledo and laying 14, as well you should, Steve.
You could probably lay 17 in a hook.
As well you should. Mike from Scottsdale, good morning, muchachos. Did Brian Roth show up with a red nose and clown shoes today? Ha, 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 ha. I think the Justin Fields era starts in Chicago very soon because Ginger Dalton was less than impressive. See, there you go. Thank you very much, Mike from Scottsdale. That's what we're looking for. I was most impressed by Dak's performance considering the comeback from injury, which I referenced. Mm-hmm. He threw for 403 and actually played really well.
Yeah. Brian did break out his seltzer water flower, lapel flower at the end of that interview, though.
With the comments about?
About Ohio State.
Yeah. And I got to be honest, yeah.
Had a bicorn.
I thank the world of Brian. Dull respect, great professionals. And as much fun as I had seeing your reaction to him smacking you around,
mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure he's in the best place for that.
When we match up in the Poinsettia Bowl, which is not going to be this year because the Rams aren't going to be bowl eligible.
Because they're not. I mean, it's just that's not going
to
happen.
They will have to institute a mercy rule.
See, now, like, if Brian would have fallen back on his college alma mater,
mm-hmm.
which is the in-state rival of the Rams,
yeah.
University of Colorado, he could have said, yeah, we lost, but man, look how it played against number 5 team in the nation.
Yeah.
Game we should have won.
If he should have just let the school name out of the conversation. We lost by 3 to an SEC team, Jim.
Yeah, really good SEC team.
Not to mention
team.
That it's Vanderbilt or Missouri.
Okay, so from Robert. So the team does not stop at the Bachelorette or the Bachelor when channel surfing. No.
No.
No, Robert, no. Never have. I've watched maybe 5 minutes of Survivor, like the first season. 5 minutes, maybe.
That's a good whine I have, is that screws up my television viewing knowledge. Because if a show's on for 13 years, it has 13 seasons. Survivor's got like 42 seasons. Just stop.
And I don't care about any of them.
No, I don't.
I don't care. I don't care if it's the All-Stars against the Working Joes and Janes or whatever convoluted crap they come up with.
I don't care.
Bachelor, Bachelorette, do not care.
Nope. Fantasy Island, Love Island, Jersey Shore, don't care. Last reality show I was locked into was the Hawaiian version of Real
Honey
World.
Boo Boo, don't care.
I'm not going to keep
mom to look like a thumb. I don't care.
I barely know the names of people in my family. I'm not going to remember your 19 kids' names on TLC. Just stop.
Like I said, I can't.
You better put them on the screen because I have no idea who these people are.
The only reality thing that I watch, that Kendall watches sometimes, is like House Hunters or House Hunters International. Because you learn about property in other parts mm-hmm. of the country and, hey, that'd be kind of cool to do the house. I mean, or in a foreign country.
Yeah.
You learn something from it, but it's staged reality stuff because they have 3 places to look at.
Right.
And they're trying to rent. And you always have either the husband is the by the book, you know, budget where, mm-hmm. you know, we're at $1,500 a month and that's all we're going to spend or only going to spend $450,000 or $250,000 on a house or whatever.
My husband's a professional Call of Duty player, and I'm a photographer, and our budget is $5 million.
Right.
Stop.
And she just, I just thought that the budget doesn't matter. We just got to be comfortable. Or it's vice versa. He's the one that's the, you know, mm-hmm. I don't care how much money we spend. And she's like, whoa, dude, I'm the one that does our books, and we can't do that type
of controversy. I'm more of a going RV guy. I like that.
Yeah.
Buying the motorhomes and the fifth wheels.
See, that's okay. But see, that's you
but
actually
it's the same thing. Yeah.
But you actually learn something from that.
Pretty much. And it's one of those things that's like, okay, I don't really care about that feature if I were to buy one.
Sure.
You know,
you'll learn something from it.
Yeah.
And so it's okay if it's, you know, reality-ish. What do I learn from The Bachelor, Bachelorette? Bunch of idiots that are on a show that I could care less about.
And I used to watch The Voice a little bit, but only the blind auditions. I never really cared about the competition. I was just like, okay, which one of these 4 jabronis is going to turn around? And that person's pretty good, and nobody turned around. So, all right,
yeah,
I'm done.
Kendi used to watch Dancing with the Stars some. And at times, if there's somebody on there that, you know, the former NFL guy play, like, you know, Emmitt Smith or somebody, okay, I'll watch them because we'd talk about it on the show. But it wouldn't be like I'd sit there and watch the whole damn thing and really care. Oh, I really, really hope that Screech from Saved by the Bell wins.
The late Dustin Diamond.
God rest his soul. You know, didn't care.
Didn't think he'd be the first of those six to go. Mario Lopez is never going to die because he's still 20 years old.
No, yeah, he's got the Brady thing going. Like Tom Cruise and those guys, Dorian Gray. There's the picture in the attic somewhere that continues to age. And it absorbs the aging for those guys. That's what they're Dorian Gray. Simple as that. Little literary reference for you today here on the program.
We kind of went everywhere in this segment. I'm not sure we solved anything.
No, we didn't.
Other than art is in the eye of the beholder and photography is for people who can't paint.
There we go.
See if that works.
We did learn something.
And you learned something. You got to hear Peyton actually speak today a little bit. So there you go.
We know he can do it. Yeah. So this radio thing might be a good idea.
Good start, Peyton. Good start.
Thank you.
What's your wine, Peyton? Oh, I don't know, guys. Oh, sorry. Thanks.
I got to think about that. It'll be okay. He doesn't talk like Dave Stewart. Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah, give me a break over here.
Mine was a voice squeak, not a Dave Stewart.
Okay. 944. We'll go ahead and do four down territory in a moment. We're working out with some garbage time.
Nothing else to do.
What the hay? What the hay? All right. So let's get to this day in sports history. And if I can find it here, there we go. Come on. Cooperate with me. Here we go. 1973, Triple Crown winner Secretariat keeps on winning. The three-year-old wins the Marlboro Cup Invitational Handicap with a then world record time back in 1973. Also on this day, this will make you feel better about what Brian did, you know, in the Ohio State stuff.
Okay.
Because this day, 1973, Archie Griffin starts an NCAA record string of 31 games rushing for at least 100 yards. Starts out with a win over the Minnesota Golden Gophers, 56-7. As Golden Gophers, eh?
Oh, those Gophers.
He pummeled those Gophers.
Golden Gophers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
I said, kill the Gophers, not the golfers.
It's not my fault. Nobody can understand what you're saying.
Okay, 1978, Muhammad Ali becomes the first three-time heavyweight champion with his victory 15 rounds over Leon Spinks. Also on this day in 2012, Ryan Blaney becomes youngest winner in NASCAR truck history. Wins at 18 years, 8 months. I was just freaking out about getting registered for the Selective Service stuff and what I was going to college, much less.
Please don't draft me.
Yeah, please don't draft me. Much less winning in NASCAR Truck Series. Also on this day, 2013, Aaron Rodgers throws for a career-high 480 yards in a win over Washington. Also on this day, 2013, as he did it as a Bronco, Peyton Manning becomes the third quarterback in league history to reach 60,000 passing yards, throws for 307 and 2 touchdowns, and the Broncos win over the New York Giants. Who was the quarterback? Kid brother Eli. Yep. Manning becomes the third quarterback in league history to reach 60,000 passing yards at that time, joining Brett Favre, and Dan Marino. All right, that's this day in sports history. 9:47, we'll take a break, and either we'll flip a coin, garbage time or four down territory. We'll do one of those next, right here on the Jim Davis Show.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warped, twisted individuals. Yes. Yeah!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
All right, welcome back. 9:50. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Did you pick winners for Wine About It today and for Qdoba?
I have not.
Okay, let's get to a couple here very quick. From Taylor, the worst part of the House Hunter series or any renovation show is the inevitable closet comment from the wife to the husband referencing how little real estate he has in the closet and the obnoxious laugh that follows. Oh, see,
yeah.
I guess you're just going to have to you're going to have to put your clothes in that fourth bedroom closet, dear. Because these three closets are going to be mine.
Problem is, raise your hand if most of your clothes are indeed across the hall.
Mine are in a closet.
Mine are in drawers. A closet.
Yeah.
Across the hall.
Kendra does not have a much bigger closet than I do. It's not huge. I wish she had a bigger closet for her, but no, it's not.
We have one closet in our bedroom, and I have some stuff in there. I have a significant amount of space, but I also have a lot of sports stuff, too. Sports t-shirts and jerseys and whatnot. Most of those are across the hall.
Buckeye, this is from Colin and Rifle. I'm impressed that you... that was pretty brutal, and you controlled yourself. Good job, guys. Well, good job you.
He was incredibly mean to me.
I was encouraging Brian Roth to do that.
I'm not entirely certain I'll call him next week.
Yeah, you will. You'll call him next week. Come on. You'll be fine.
I don't know about that. I thought we were friends, but whatever.
I think you still are. Come on. I give you crap. You give me crap. We're still friends?
No, me and Brian.
You'll still be friends. No, I'm just as an example, though.
Oh.
B. Roth's a good dude.
Yeah.
Don't take it so personal. That your football team's the third best team.
It was personal,
though. The third best team in the state of Ohio right now.
Punch in the face. Don't take it personally.
Don't take it personal.
This is just business.
All right. Okay, I made the big decision here. We're just going to do garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
Although, technically, it probably started with the
921.
Something like that. Yeah, probably something so.
Around there.
Okay. Broncos take on Jacksonville Sunday here on the team pregame at 9, kickoff at 11.
In a thriller.
Urban Meyer, which is still weird to say, Jacksonville head coach, declined to participate in what's pretty much a tradition that, Denver reporters would get to talk to Herb on a Zoom call or on the phone. He said no, he was not going to do it. Many coaches do that. They do the conference call with the media members that cover the other, the other team. It's a courtesy. Conference call tradition used to be a requirement. NFL made it non-mandatory this season. So Herb, deciding to take advantage of the rule change, said, nope, I don't think I'm going to talk to the Denver media this week. Somebody tweeted out, wonder if he'll be too busy visiting USC.
Ouch.
Ooh.
Don't go to USC, though. They will blow you out of there if you do not go undefeated.
Okay, do you have something?
Clay Helton got 9 days of the season.
I've got one more thing here, by the way, really quickly, because there's a little bit of sound to go with it. So, Ryan Fitzpatrick, of course, got hurt in the Washington football team's game to the Chargers. Hip injury. There is a caller to a station in Washington thinks that actually Fitzmagic got hurt before the game on Sunday.
What's up, man? You're on with Beamish and Finley.
I'm pretty sure Ryan Fitzpatrick re-injured his hip during the game against the Chargers. Where you guys saw round two, we saw round one at Symington Water Park in Leesburg at Ida Lee on the last day. Because 3 times a week, he'd bring all of his 7 million boys up there. They'd go on the slow slide. He always go on the fast slide. And then about mid-afternoon, it looked like he whacked his hip on the right on the fast slide, and then he didn't do no slide the rest of the day. Everybody at the park saw he was going around either like a awkward gait or a shuffle walk the rest of the afternoon.
Okay, so
conspiracy theories abound.
There is a real water park, the Symington Aquatic Center. Do you think that Ryan Fitzpatrick actually hurt himself before he got hurt in the Chargers game?
Yeah, I'll buy that.
And he re-injured it?
Yeah, why not?
Among the weird sports injuries, guys getting sunburned.
Getting rolled up in the tarp.
Guys getting sunburned on their tanning beds, things like that. All right, we'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 7 on the Team Sports Network.